Hello again, friends. Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. On today's show, Doc signed one of his former players this weekend because of course he did. Doc cut one of his recent draft picks because of course he did. And finally, Danny Ainge is in San Diego taking pictures of whales. And what if Blake Griffin won't re-sign and neither side is saying anything about it because it ruined the odds of finding a legitimate trade? And what if everything isn't going to be okay? Why aren't they signing any small forwards? And what if my voice just fades away in the intro suddenly and there won't even be a show? Okay, everything's gonna be okay. Everything's totally fine. You guys, don't even worry. Let's get to headlines from elsewhere. Let's start with Tyreke Evans. Oh, poor Tyreke. It's a tradition unlike any other at this point. Tyreke Evans won't be ready to start the season because he's had roughly a billion knee surgeries over the last year. It's actually been, I think, three in the last 7 months. Tough, man. It's tough. If you've had knee surgery, I tore my ACL once. It's awful. I gained like 30 pounds in like 3 weeks. That's a slight exaggeration, but I gained a lot of weight. I was peeing in Gatorade bottles because I didn't want to get up because it hurt so bad. So I just hope Tyreke Evans has someone in his life to empty out his pee bottles. He probably does. I'm guessing he does. You really don't know love until you've seen your significant other emptying out a pee bottle that has your pee in it. That's love, man. You might think it's like the fuzzy feeling you get after the first couple of dates or something that happens in the bedroom. Nope. It's not. It's when somebody empties your pee bottles and doesn't really seem all that upset about it. That's love. That's how you know, guys. I'm just letting you know. In other news, sad news, Nate Thurman passed away at the age of 74 this weekend. Nate the Great, I never saw Nate Thurman play, but just going off, reading what his peers said about him really paints the picture. I found one great quote from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem said, "A lot of people beat up on me and said they played great defense. Nate Thurman really did." Kareem has said before that Nate defended him as well as anyone did. So obviously thoughts are with his family. Rest in peace, Nate the Great, Nate Thurmond. And then finally, Pat Riley. Did you see this weekend? Have you seen this? Have you heard this? That was my Jay Leno voice. That was really bad. I'm not going to do that ever again. I'm sorry for anyone that had to listen to that. Pat Riley had a press conference about Dwayne Wade leaving. And it was this, like, it was bizarre. Maybe I'm the only one who found it bizarre. And maybe it helps that I saw it at, like, 2 a.m. on loop when SportsCenter does their loop-de-doop-de thing where they play, like, the same 30-minute SportsCenter over and over and over. So I saw it, like, three times. But every time I had to watch it because it was so weird to me. Because first it's just, like, he looked like he just woke up from, like, a two-week-long nap. Like, just under a beach cabana in Miami, and someone woke him up and was like, "Hey, Pat, sorry to interrupt you, but Dwayne Wade is going to go play in Chicago?" And Pat Riley was like, "Oh, man, really? Bummer. Why didn't you guys let me know earlier? I would have paddled to the Mediterranean Sea." That's what he said. "I would have paddled to the Mediterranean Sea, and I should have been in the middle of this." It's like, yeah, Pat, okay, we just needed you to, like, be around for a couple of hours during the off season. Like, maybe just check into the office, pick up the phone, I don't know, talk to Dwayne a little bit, send those emails you're working on, your drafts, just, like, kind of finish them out and send them, and give them $6 million more, and we'd still have the face of the franchise. We'd still have that guy. Also, he doesn't need you to paddle anywhere. Have you seen his banana boat? Pat, J. Jeez, get it together. Get with the times, Pat. Seriously, though, just pay that guy his money. Like, if I was a Miami Heat fan, I'd be heated. Oh, just busting out the puns. All the dad jokes in this little segment. Maybe I'm the sucker here, though. Maybe I'm the sucker. Here's a theory. They never wanted Dwayne Wade. Even at a relatively affordable price, they didn't want him. And so Pat Riley kind of has to fall on the sword and be like, I didn't do enough. It's my fault. I've been sleeping. Do you see my face? Look at my face right now. I've been sleeping for so long. It's my fault. And really, it's the Tyler Johnson show now. Maybe they wanted to move into a new era of Heat basketball and didn't want Dwayne Wade to be a part. No, that's stupid. Nope. Sorry, Pat. I'm blaming you. I tried to give you an alternate theory. It didn't make sense. All right, we need to move on. Too much Miami Heat talk. Let's get to the Clippers. Clippers made a lot of moves. A lot of moves this weekend. And we're not going to miss the forest for the trees. But we do need to cover each move and kind of focus on the trees for right now. And then we'll get big picture. So let's start here. Let's start with CJ Wilcox. Former first-round pick, 2014 NBA draft, CJ Wilcox, traded to the Orlando Magic for Devin Marble, who was waived right away, and for a 2020 second-round draft pick. 2020, it sounds like a fake year. It's only 4 years away, but it feels like such a fake thing because it's 2020. But we're going to be so sick in 2020. The Clippers picked up a second-round pick for a player they clearly had no real interest in. This was more to clear a roster spot, and they did that by waiving Marble right away, who is non-guaranteed. So it cleared some cap. It cleared a roster spot. And Wilcox is kind of the casualty of that. Now, let's have a quick memoriam for C.J. Wilcox's career as a Clipper. You may remember him from his one game against the Warriors, where the Clippers made a fake comeback with their bench. Didn't actually win, but made a comeback. That was cool. And that's about it for CJ Wilcox's career. He played 268 minutes as a Clipper. Yep, 268 minutes, a first-round draft pick. Shot 16 for 42, 38% from three. It was all garbage time. So who knows if he's good? He could be really good. Probably not, but he could be good. Orlando's willing to give up their draft pick from the future to find out. So, we'll see. So that move cleared up roster spot and some space for the Clippers to sign Raymond Felton. Now there's a name that fans are familiar with, Raymond Felton. Felton had some pretty nice moments, actually, last year for the Mavericks. He started the season off really well for them. Kind of slowed down towards the end. But had a pretty good season for them. Still showed he's got a little bit of fight left. The disappointing thing with him is he hasn't shot over 32% from the three-point line in any of his last three seasons. He's not exactly aging all that well. He's never been someone who is in incredible basketball shape. Let's put it that way. A round is a shape, DJ. He's never been in great shape. But I think that's a little overrated. He's always kind of had just like a round body. Some people have round bodies, man. That's okay. He played well last year. He played pretty well last year. So I didn't hate this pickup. They're looking for a veteran point guard, someone who can step in if something happens to Chris Paul and kind of keep things chugging along. Now, as you know, if you've followed me on Twitter or followed my writing over the years, you know I like swinging for the fences with either guys who can play multiple positions and defend or young players in general. But in this case, when Austin Rivers is the closest thing to a backup point guard that you have, I'm okay with going out and getting a veteran, even if he hasn't shot the ball particularly well over the last couple of seasons. I'm okay with going and getting a veteran who you can trust. So that was the next move for the Clippers. So So traded C.J. Wilcox to Orlando, signed Raymond Felton, and then the surprising one. Okay, maybe not surprising. Maybe surprising is the wrong word. Clippers signed Big Baby. Clippers signed Paul Pierce. Clippers trade for Jeff Green. So you could probably see a pattern. And Brandon Bass was a free agent, and he used to play for Doc Rivers. And so the Clippers signed him, obviously. But I actually really like the signing. As much as we can make fun of Doc for signing one of his old players and, you know, do that whole thing, it's a good signing. He's okay, so Bass is a really good shooter, first off. He doesn't have three-point range, but he's a really good mid-range shooter. Great pick-and-pop guy. Really good defender. Very versatile. Even as he's getting up there in age a little bit, he can still stick with multiple players. He can move. He can bang. He's got good size. So Brandon Bass is a really nice player and a really great role player who can do a lot of different things for you. But he doesn't protect the rim, and he's not a small forward. The Clippers just signed Maurice Spates to do a lot of the Brandon Bass-y type things. Now, Bass is, again, a better defender, a versatile defender who can guard multiple positions. But offensively, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And you're not filling in a spot where you have Luke Mbamute and Wesley Johnson as really your only depth on the wing. So it's a little weird to me. I don't love the fit. I really like Brandon Bass on a minimum contract. I really like that, and it's good to have an insurance policy, I guess. But if I'm taking out insurance policies, I would rather get a small forward with some upside who could, I don't know, defend Kevin Durant or defend Kawhi Leonard or defend Kevin Durant. I'd rather get one of those guys. But I like Brandon Bass, too. So I don't think we need to absolutely kill the Bass signing, even if it's not a great fit, because individually, just in a vacuum, he's a good role player, and I think he'll contribute. But also, can you sign a small forward, Doc? So with French point guard, their roster would be at 15, because, segue, they cut Brandon Dawson on Sunday. Again, Dawson, do we know if he's good? We don't, really. We think he had some potential as a wing player and maybe could be a guy that, you know, would defend a little bit on the wing for the Clippers. We don't know. He's cut. It's a disturbing trend of the Clippers drafting players, not really playing them at all during games, and then cutting them loose. Wilcox, I think, being the better example than Dawson, who was the 56th pick in the draft. Listen, I don't think anyone can expect to hit on draft picks that late. It would be nice to know if they could play or not, though. And I guess from a fan perspective, that's the frustrating thing, because we've never really gotten to see it. So we just kind of have to go based on what Doc's seeing at practice, which is hard to do. It's hard to do. It involves a lot of trust, obviously. And so that makes it tough. But Brandon Dawson cut, gone. That puts the roster at 15 with French point guard, which probably means they're at 14. They have one roster space right now. So could a small forward be coming? What's Sasha Pavlovich doing? Is James Posey still ready to play? What's Marquise Daniels doing? Somebody hit him up on his two-way. I think we've exhausted all the former Celtics small forwards. The one we're forgetting about, or that I forgot about, that no one's really talking about, Paul Pierce. Hey, oh yeah, Paul Pierce plays for the Clippers. Huh. It's not clear if he's going to retire yet or not. About last week, Ben Bolch of the Los Angeles Times had a report that said Pierce is leaning towards coming back and playing another season. He's one of four players that was drafted before the year 2000. The year 2000. One of four players. Dirk Nowitzki, Kevin Garnett, Vince Carter, and Paul Pierce. He's going on his 19th season. I really don't want to say this right now. I really want to pull this punch, but I can't. The Clippers would be a lot better off without Paul Pierce. Oh, I hate saying it too. A Hall of Famer, such a great competitor, but they'd be better off. Okay, so first, they would be below the tax line if Pierce retired, because his salary would come off the books. They'd be below the tax line, which is huge. They'd avoid that repeater tax. They're close now, but they'd avoid that repeater tax. And then, more importantly, another roster spot would open up, and they'd have the ability to sign a small forward who has a little life in his legs, who's athletic, who can defend, who can maybe knock down an open shot every now and then. I know that's asking a lot. They'd be able to sign someone like that to challenge Luke Mbamute and Wesley Johnson for minutes. So yeah, it's hard because Pierce is a four now, basically, right? He can't cover threes anymore. He can't cover wing players. He's got to cover big guys now. And now you got Griffin, Spates, Bass, and Pierce. I don't think all those guys are going to play, since they all basically need to play power forward. Now, Spates can play center, but those other three, it's really tough with the minutes. So, yeah, I just think the Clippers would be better off without Paul Pierce. He should retire on his own. I never think it's okay to tell a legendary player to retire. Like, whatever he feels he needs to get out of him, you go for it, man. I watch all the Rocky Balboa, the Rocky 6, the Rocky 7. They should have just kept going with the numbers. It gets really confusing after that. I watch those, man. If you got the beast inside of you, you need to get it out. Cool. You box as a 60-year-old man. Whatever you got to do. I fully support it. But yeah, from the Clippers, from a business point of view, the Clippers would be better off without Paul Pierce. So we'll see what he ends up doing. Again, it looks like he's coming back, but that could impact some things. Maybe he'll get traded to Boston. I don't like that when I think about that. And he hasn't said if he's retired or not, and it's been quiet. And how he just gets traded to Boston to finish out his career. Oh, no. Is this Boston trade going to happen? Okay, so I mentioned the whale thing earlier. Danny Ainge is in San Diego, and everyone's freaking out because San Diego is in close proximity to Los Angeles and Blake Griffin. That's when you know you got some trading clout, man. When people are tracking where you are in the United States and they're panicking based on your location because you'll be able to talk to people in person instead of over the phone. That's when you know, just don't negotiate with that guy. New phone, who this? That's the move I would do if I was Doc. Just don't talk to him. Okay, but let's put all these things together and see if it makes sense. Okay. Clippers clear roster spot. Now, teams a lot of times will do that before a big trade, so they can get more players in and, you know, clear some space. That all makes sense. I don't think that's what's happening here, but if you look at the offseason moves, Clippers' first-round pick is power forward Bryce Johnson. Two of their signings are guys who can play the four. Now, Spates is more of a backup five, but they signed Brandon Bass this weekend. Okay, so there's a few tea leaves to go with this report from Sean Devaney of the Sporting News that he believes that Blake Griffin will be a member of the Celtics before the season starts. He thinks that. I don't think that. I still stand by my 2.7% chance that Blake Griffin gets traded. But let's look at the scenario of why this might be happening. if Blake Griffin told the Clippers, hey, courtesy, this is a courtesy thing, I'm opting out of my contract, I fully intend to become a free agent, and I may end up somewhere else, or I'm not re-signing here, would we hear about it? I don't think we would. And here's why. I think the organization would obviously do their absolute best to keep that under wraps, because it sinks his trade value as soon as it's become public that he's not re-signing, that he intends to exercise his early termination option and get out and skip town next offseason. It pretty clearly benefits the organization not to have that get out. But it benefits Blake Griffin too, because then he can negotiate that trade spot and end up somewhere he wants to be, while it not looking like he's just leaving the Clippers, that it's not his fault, his doing. I just think that someone who's been through like the reputation ringer that he has with, you know, the whole punch incident last season, he probably doesn't want to catch that heat right now that I'm not re-signing, I want out, you know, do that whole superstar play. So if that is the scenario, and again, I do not think this is what's happening. If that is the scenario, I think it would benefit both sides to keep it under wraps and try and make a trade and then have any of that stuff get out afterwards. I don't think that's what's happening. I think everything that the Clippers have done, even though they are signing multiple power forwards, multiple big men, everything that I've done as far as keeping the team together, the core group of guys together, I don't necessarily think they'd do that if they were rebuilding, if they were, you know, trying to land Brooklyn's draft pick. It wouldn't make sense. It's a conflict. If they're rebuilding, you don't re-sign Wesley Johnson for 3-4 years. You don't lock up Jamal Crawford. You probably just let him walk. So I think unless it's a recent thing of Blake Griffin saying, I'm not coming back, unless he did that relatively recently, I mean like in the last week, none of this makes a whole lot of sense to me. That's just me. From a logical standpoint, it doesn't make sense for the Clippers to trade him unless Blake Griffin has made those demands, and B, I don't think he's made those demands. So, there you go. That's my take. I wouldn't panic. There's a little bit more panic in me than there was a week ago. That report is obviously coming from somewhere, from something. He's a good reporter. Sean Devaney's a good reporter. I don't think he's making it up out of thin air by any means. I do think the Clippers have toyed with the idea in the past of trading Blake Griffin, and things may have gotten serious after last year's actions. But I still don't think it's going to happen. All right, let's take this home. Winner of the weekend, Bill Walton. I remember, so this was probably like 15 years ago. I was on the internet and somebody hacked into somebody's cell phone or something, and all these phone numbers of famous athletes were just released to like open to the public. John Elway was one of them. Bunch of famous athletes. And Bill Walton was one of them. So me being like an annoying high school kid that didn't know any better, decided, you know what? Let's call. Let's see if one's real. So I decided to call Bill Walton's cell phone. Naturally, he doesn't answer. His voicemail comes on, and it is like fully 100% weird Bill Walton being weird. Exactly what you would expect from Bill Walton's voicemail. And I just thought it was the coolest thing, man. Because I love that guy. His announcing, his stuff with Ralph. I just adored Bill Walton. And still do. He's still the coolest. And he could win just about every weekend. But the reason why he's winning this weekend is because he was prominently involved in an esports tournament this weekend. And if you don't know what esports are, it's like video games. Like people playing video games against each other, like competitive for lots of money. I think this weekend was Street Fighter. And I just love the idea of 7-foot Bill Walton, chillest guy on the planet, just taking somebody to the woodshed in Street Fighter. Like that just cracks me up. I also want to know what character he plays with. If he's a Hayuken guy, or if he uses the one dude with the limbs who go out like 20 feet and kick you. That guy's the best, by the way. I don't remember his name, but he was my dude. So you're the winner of the weekend, Bill Walden. Loser of the weekend is Luke Walden, just for symmetry. I don't really have anything against Luke Walden. I don't think he did anything wrong this weekend, but, you know, can't have the Walton family thinking, you know, everything's all good. And he's the Lakers coach. So, you're the loser of the weekend, Luke Walden. That's it. That's it for today's show. Thank you guys for listening. If you have questions for the show, email me at fosterdj3@gmail.com. And make sure you subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got some great guests lined up for you this week, so keep checking in. Subscribe on iTunes, and you don't have to do anything. It's kind of cool. Thank you guys for listening. Again, I'm your host, DJ Foster, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.